Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parenting Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parenting Hell with...
Florence, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
And can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe.
This is Florence, who's just turned two. I think that's pretty good. We coaxed her to say this whilst munching on a cucumber, which she stole from the side whilst we were making dinner. She's a bit of a food thief, but we generally let her get on with it if it's a distraction to get the actual dinner so we can get the dinner on the table. A raw onion or eggshell isn't off the cards. Bloody hell. We can't wait to see you live in April.
Fuck it. Well, I'll roll back. A raw... No, she'll try and eat it, but she doesn't let them eat it, does she?
My son's eating raw onion, I think. I think it's fine. Well, that's fine. It's the eggshell. The eggshell.
You know, yeah, I'm not... Yeah, that, you know, raw onion, if they like it...
Is eggshell bad for you? Can you eat the shell?
I don't think it's encouraged.
No.
Did I tell you Lou burnt boiled eggs this week?
Oh, my word.
I'd never known it.
No. The egg within the shell was burned.
So I was doing an interview, and I went, I've got to do a 20-minute interview. I've put these eggs on to boil in cold water, so it'll take a little while, but... And she went, yeah, but how do you want them done? I went, oh, no, just hard-boiled, so just, you know... Whatever, just turn them off when after 5-10 minutes or whatever, and leave them in the water. She went, okay. Anyway, she completely forgot. She was in the kitchen cooking, but forgot they were boiling.
Oh, no.
All the water evaporated.
Oh my word!
And then she could smell burning, and basically it just started like just sort of pan frying,
just frying the boiled eggs.
So basically, it burnt the shell,
and then the shell
cracked, and then it just started burning through to the white.
Oh, my
word. So that one half of it might have been all right, but I didn't...
And she was just cooking nearby.
I know, it's...
It feels like she's going to respond to that on the next time we get Lou on.
There's something with Lou and cooking that's deeper than doesn't like it. I don't know what's gone on, but her and cooking are just not friends. At all. Eggshell, though. I don't know if you can eat eggshell.
No.
I certainly wouldn't give it to my child, weaning them.
That was Helena, Ricky and Florence from Peterborough. Can't wait to see you live in Edinburgh in April. April? If they're from Peterborough, Rob, I reckon they're coming to the Nottingham date.
Yeah, boy. Good to see you there. I met two blokes in North London at the end of, like, the Tube.
Yeah.
End of, like, Stanmore or something.
Yeah.
And then I met them at the end of that Tube, and they picked me up from the Tube. We drove to Peterborough, and it was basically a pub that was trying to do stand-up, but... They had done nothing other than put a microphone and a PA in the corner of the pub.
Yeah, lovely.
So essentially, I was just doing stand-up to a busy pub.
Yeah.
Backs of heads, tables, people queuing, everyone watching.
Oh, my God.
Awful. But I got paid 40 quid cash, got dropped home. Stanmore, 1 a.m, no tube, 3-night buses. I was back in Lewisham before you knew it.
Oh, my God. Did I ever tell you I did a gig where a pub was trying to do stand-up and they didn't know how to do it? Like, and so they had, everyone was eating dinner. And he had a mic with no lead. The landlord said, I was like, so what, you just want me to stand in the corner? And he said, or you could just go table to table and just do a joke to each table.
Oh, I was like a hand magician.
I'm not walking around the room, arriving at each table to go, have you ever been to Madame Tussauds? Because this is my anecdote.
Okay, gun to your head, and you had to because your family's life was on it.
Yeah.
You're in that room now. You've got that mic. You've got to go to a table to make them laugh.
Yeah. I'd just make jokes about the pub and the food and the situation. I would never... There's no way you could... I once also did a gig and I got there and it was a dinner, right? And it was all one long table and I was at the end, like, kind of the king.
Yeah.
And I just had to sit there. And then they all sat and had dinner, and I had to kind of hold forth at the end of the table.
I did that in an Oxford dining hall at the uni.
Yeah. Whoa.
It was mental.
It's mad, isn't it? What we did back in the day.
If you type in Oxford dining hall...
Yeah.
right? It comes up straight away.
Dining hall.
At the end of it on a little, like, raised
platform.
Oh, my
God, like Harry Potter?
Yeah.
It looks like Hogwarts.
And I was, that was me doing my gear about, I don't trust couscous, it's fat sand.
Yeah, nice.
Do you know what I mean?
Lovely.
I don't like anything that tastes, feels like it's already been chewed in my mouth, all that stuff.
Yeah, all that good, great gear. It was good gear. It was good gear back
tomatoes
in the day.
Hot in a toasted sandwich,
yeah, that,
stuff like
I
that.
I always loved that.
Yeah,
I loved that.
That was a good bit.
Yeah,
it?
That was good.
I
still
I
think
noticed.
About that. When I have a panini, I think about that. It gets transported back to you being
and
a young whippersnapper.
Oxford dining hall with people going, what is he, a toasted sandwich? What's he talking, a Breville maker? What's he talking about?
We got bought a Breville for Christmas 2 years ago. And
it's so good, isn't it?
It's so good. But you eat so many toasted sandwiches for about 2 weeks and then it just goes in the cupboard.
And then you start experimenting with cheese, beans and Bovril.
Oh,
and
go,
no,
my
no, it didn't
God.
Work, actually. Nutella
cheese
one,
and pickle's
always
a good one. Have you ever tried cheese and pickle? But fuck me,
oh,
it gets
cheese
hot.
And pickle. That's a hot pickle, mate. Oh,
that
I get
hot.
Another 10 minutes out of that.
Do you know what? I'd love a Breville. I might go down and have a Breville for lunch. I love a Breville sandwich. No company dominates a market more than Breville with the toasted sandwich
well,
market.
Well, I used to call it a Breville, you know, toasted, rather than a toasted sandwich maker in the Breville, and people didn't know what I was talking about, but it
what?
Is... Some people don't call it the Breville, they just call it... Because that's a brand name, isn't it?
It's a fucking Breville, and if they want to chuck some money our way, that
tell
would,
you what,
we
Breville,
would be...
Breville, if you want to send me a fucking toasted maker, mate, I'll have cheese and beans for a month until I'm 15 stone.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Oh, I love
Breville. Yeah, because
Breville.
Breville's the... I used to call it a Breville, but it's not actually a...
Yeah.
It's just so cheap as well, sandwich. I mean, like, oh, I'm asking God. Them to send me one. They're 20 quid.
Yeah, they're
probably,
so
I'll,
good.
I'll dip me in it. And now, detachable, so you can put it in the dishwasher.
Can you? Oh.
You can remove it, because Lou's got a waffle maker
moving,
that does
they're
that.
They're moving with the times, Breville.
Oh, these guys. Oh,
my daughter's shouting for me, Rob.
Okay, go on. She want a sandwich?
She wants a toasted sandwich. I don't think she'd enjoy it.
I'm going to tell the listeners my dirty confession so you don't hear it and give me grief for it.
All right, great. I'll look forward to that and then I can listen to the episode for once in my life.
Listen back, yeah. Let me tell... Right, I'm going to tell you this.
Everything OK?
He's doing some parenting. Everything OK? That's a strange thing to ask a kid. Not really, no. Bit of back pain.
I'm working.
I'm working. I'm just talking to Rob about toasted sandwich makers, okay? I'm grafting it. I've got calluses.
That?
What's that, mate?
Oh, I didn't hear
I enjoyed
it.
You saying you're working to your daughter after discussing sandwich makers.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, that is bad, isn't it?
I'm working.
Why
can't
you didn't
hear?
Say it like that? She said, what are you up to? I said, I'm working.
Yeah,
what would
you
have said? I'm talking about toasted sandwich makers. God, I love a toasted sandwich.
Okay.
Really love them.
That's the most honest you've ever been. That is your. That is pure. That is your soul. That is a toasted sandwich, isn't it?
Oh,
it's bread. Bread's so bad for you.
I'm so basic when it comes to food. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm just. I love a toasted sandwich. And
do you
I'm
know
fine
what?
With that.
I used to try and think that if I could genuinely bread and cheese and butter, if I could have that every day and not die within about 3 years, I would eat. Three massive sandwiches every day.
Do you know
day.
What I love? And I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
A freezer pizza. I fucking love a freezer
Dr.
pizza.
Dr. Oike Ristorante.
Oh, just, yeah.
Pound for pound.
A supermarket own brand. Fine.
Oh,
yes,
no,
please.
Fuck that. No, fuck off.
I love them.
I love them. Ristorante. Dr. Oike.
No,
pound for pound.
Weird.
The great
Dr. Oike. They're not biscuit based.
They're not biscuit based, you mad bastard. They're the best. Pound for pound for £2. What a... I think they're still £2. How much is a Ristorante these days?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably.
I'll tell you what.
You know, Liz Truss has fucked the Dr. Oike market. Brexit's probably fucked Dr. Oike, can I tell you that?
Well, it's just come off my thing. They're £2 in Waitrose, £3.25 on Ocado. What mad bastard is buying £3.20... Oh, it's a vegan one, that's why.
Oh, right, we're jumping on that.
£3 in Tesco.
There you go.
£2 Sainsbury's. There we go, all bases covered.
Shall we bring our guests on?
Oh, yeah, my embarrassing thing. I'll say that quickly.
Oh,
embarrassing.
Yeah.
I quite like Muse.
The band?
Yeah.
Do you?
I don't like it, though.
They're from my...
They're a bit nerdy for me, no offence.
They're a bunch of...
A couple of their songs.
Yeah, they're... they used to... my friends were supported by Muse when they were 16, because Muse were on the same, like, open mic night when all my mates were in bands. Muse did my school, I think.
All right. So is there any extra bit of that story? I thought you were going to say they did it and they were nice or horrible or...
Oh, no. Matt Bellamy used to live above a sex shop on Exit High Street. I know that.
Okay, cool.
And we once... I was once pulled over and asked a man for directions. It was Dom, the drummer. That's about all I've got.
Okay, all right. That's quite extensive. Fair play.
Yeah.
Respect. Okay, let's bring in our guest.
Oh, and what a guest it is.
Yes.
In fact, Rob...
Yeah.
One of your Radio 2 mates, isn't it?
Yes, a member of the Radio 2 family, old Coxie, Sarah Cox.
Family.
And I enjoyed you keeping it together, considering that you was obsessed with Sarah Cox in the 90s.
This is Sarah Cox.
Hello, Sarah Cox. Welcome to the podcast. Me and Josh are very excited. You've been on the hit list.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Is that a good hit list?
Yeah, it's a good one.
It is a good hit list. Yeah, yeah.
Of people we want and think will be good. I can see a cat in the background as well.
One of my many pets, a frustrated daughter of a farmer. So I can't have any cows or goats. So I just have as many small things as I can wandering around.
So you're actually a daughter of a farmer? I didn't know this.
Yeah, my dad's a beef farmer. He still is. I mean, he's 80 odd and I ring him and I can hear the rumble of the tractor. Hey, up, Bob, just shoveling cack. Give me a minute.
So are you in London?
Yeah, I'm in North London. I mean, I love London. I've been down here longer than I was up north, but a little tiny bit of me still has that little pipe dream that one day I'll have a small holding and a few more dogs and, you know, ponies for the kids, all that.
What kids have you got before we start? What ages are they?
Well, I barely qualify for this podcast, really. My parenting is nearly done.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh. Well... It's a bit of an exaggeration. The youngest is 12, so you know. Okay,
some would argue a quarter of the way through.
Yeah, I hate when people go, it's a northern thing, but I think I am quite like, you know, nah, done now, you know what I mean? You can make a toasty. My parenting's done, you're free. So 12, 14 and 18.
Oh, right.
Wow.
And what's your 18? Is he or she at uni or
well,
working?
This September, she will be at uni, hopefully. We're very proud. However, that means she's living her fresher year while still being under our roof, essentially.
Ooh, right, okay.
And she's not really wild. She just loves making things with curry powder very early in the morning before college or very late at night.
What do you mean making things with curry powder?
I really love Indian food and Indian flavours, right. But she makes these big veggie curries.
Yeah.
She uses our house. You know when you hear about dark kitchens where people just have like a kitchen on an industrial estate and that's where they churn?
Yeah.
Basically, we don't see her all weekend and she just comes in and curry bombs our entire kitchen with all these lovely aromatic smells all night. And then in the morning, it's all still there and she leaves it all out. And she's basically living her student life, but at home. Because,
right.
You know, the circle of life, she should be winding up her housemates and stuff or in all the residents with this behaviour, but instead she's still home.
Oh, God, I'd have hated to be at home. When I left and was in halls of residence, it was freedom.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, well, she's doing a really brilliant thing. It's amazing to do a foundation course with that. Then you know what you want to do and she'll go to a good uni hopefully in September, but I'll really be like, you know, mixed shoving motion. Bye. Love you.
Does she want to go somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's as well.
She's ready now. She's ready to leave the nest. She's fully feathered. Legs are dangling over the edge of the nest, you know.
Would you want her to go up north to sort of reconnect with her northern roots? Like you say, you've been down here for so long now that you've probably got three little posh Londoners, haven't you?
I know. They still say back.
Do they? Okay.
That's the thing. Yeah, it's the only thing. It would be quite nice if she went up north. I was saying that to her, actually, especially, you know, because she can then get the tram over to my mum's and go and see her little grandma. I thought it'd be quite cute, you know, go and see the family up there.
How will you react on that day when you drop her off?
Get absolutely leathered, I think. Celebrate.
before we bought the house that we're in now, we were looking around this area, and we looked at one house, and there was a lady there, and she had kids same age as you, really, 12, 14, and 18, and was like, oh, so where are you going then? Because it's quite a strange time to move, I think, because they're all in secondary school, and then uni, yeah. Sort of an odd... And she went, oh, yeah, well, what we're doing is she's going to university in Canterbury, so we're going to move down to Canterbury, so she'll be near to her. And I was like... What?
Wow.
Whoa, she doesn't want that.
You know, someone says something to you in their house and you want to go, are you fucking insane? But you like go, right, okay. And I was like, well, what about the other kids? Do you move every time they go to uni? Because it's unfair to move for one or they all have to go to the same uni. But she was very much the other end of the spectrum with dropping off for uni as you are, Sarah.
I mean,
yeah, I
wow.
think it's healthier your side of the fence.
Yeah. Look, I might be all gung-ho now. You might speak to me in a year's... Well, it's come September, and I might yeah. be devastated, but I doubt it. I mean...
You're not even pretending.
I mean, she's had enough of us. You know, she's very... She's a real independent spirit, you know what I mean? Yeah. She knows that she's fully loved. Mm. I mean, it's the same, you know, when my mum comes down here and I drop her back off... Well, I don't even drop her at Euston anymore. I pop her in an Uber. She's used to it. When I pop her in the Uber... She's had enough of me and I've had enough of her.
Yeah.
We're a bit like that, you know, it's just a bit like, I love you, but we're done now. So she'll be off and she'll have a great time.
Yeah.
When my parents come and tour with me to Australia and New Zealand, and on the way back from New Zealand, it was like 14 hours to Singapore. We was in Singapore for 2 hours, got delayed an hour, 3 hours there, and then it was 14 hours from Singapore to London because they couldn't go over parts of Russia, obviously, because of the war. And then we landed, and then we sat on the runway for 2 hours because there was nowhere to park the plane because it was a big one and needed and all this. And by the end of it, I was like itchy to wanting to like escape and get away. And I was sat there, and then my mum leant over and went, oh, look, my neighbour, whatever her name is, she's gone to see Mamma Mia. And I went, and it was a bit hard, so I apologised later. I went, why do you think I give a fuck about what your neighbour... I don't even know who your neighbour is. I don't know what she is. I don't know where she is. And I couldn't give a fuck about that. But they just bombard you with information you don't care about your parents.
Yeah, it's when that inner monologue slips out. That's what you're often thinking anyway. Yeah. You know, Carol, a daughter was in the year above you at school. You know, Jenny got a limp. You must know her anyway. Yeah. And then they'll tell you something complete. She tripped over a lamp or whatever it is. A Graham's not well. Like, you're just like, I don't care. But yeah, you're slipped out after that long together.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah. Oh. Or she goes, yeah, it's her anniversary next week. I'm thinking I might get him a present. All right, yeah, okay. Well, what do you think about that rather than say it?
What was that old, is 10p gonna ring someone who cares kind of thing, isn't it? It's like, I mean, I used to think my mum was absolutely crackers. I'm like, why does my mum care about these little things, like, you know, about, you know, when I've left a mess in the kitchen or whatever. And now my eldest woke up this morning to a naggy text and a follow-up analogue handwritten note in the kitchen as well, going,
really?
Rinse these dishes, wash this. This wasn't very pleasant at 6 a.m. making a cup of tea next to all this smelly stuff. Sort this out. And anyway, I was speaking to my husband and he goes, did she sort it out? I'm like, yeah. So, but she left just one splodge of curry sauce about 2 inches to the left of the note that I'd left her in the kitchen. Into real life. Okay, fuck you. Do what you say, but I'll just let you know that I don't care as much as you. And I was like, I took a picture with a splodge and everything.
Do you know what? You won't remember this, Sarah, but for some reason I've got a memory of you parenting, which was...
Sounds creepy.
This is weird. When we did the Crystal Maze together about 10 years ago, and there was a break, and I was sat there, and I remember hearing consecutive phone calls from Rio Ferdinand to his kid, and then you to... must be your daughter now. And he was really talking about how this kid had played in the football. Did they win? Really competitive, like sports dad. And then I just remember you saying to your daughter, yeah, if you've done all your work, then you can go to Sprinkles. And that's all you said.
Go to Sprinkles.
Sprinkles is legendary. It's shut down now,
what
sadly.
What is Sprinkles?
It was an ice cream parlour, like pancake parlour. parlour, you know, and it shut down because we're British and we're like, who wants an ice cream parlour? Yeah. That's too much, you know.
But you came across as a very chilled out parent. Is that fair?
You know what? Despite the start I've made with this chat, I am actually pretty chilled. My husband's much stricter with me, but I think it's because she's so big now.
Not bad for you. Can you eat the shell?
I don't think it's encouraged.
No.
Did I tell you Lou burnt boiled eggs this week?
Oh, my word.
I'd never known it.
No. The egg within the shell was burned.
So I was doing an interview, and I went, oh, I've got to do a 20-minute interview. I've put these eggs on to boil in cold water, so it'll take a little while. And she went, yeah, but how do you want them done? I went, oh, no, just hard-boiled, so just, you know, whatever, just turn them off when after 5-10 minutes or whatever and leave them in the water. She went, okay. Anyway, she completely forgot. She was in the kitchen cooking, but forgot they were boiling.
Oh, no.
All the water evaporated.
Oh, my word.
And then she could smell burning, and basically it just started, like, just sort of pan frying.
Just frying the boiled eggs.
So basically it burnt the shell, and then shell cracked, and then it just started burning through to the white.
Oh, my
word. So that one half of it might have been all right, but I didn't...
And she was just cooking nearby.
I know, it's...
It feels like she's going to respond to that on the next time we get Lou on.
There's something with Lou and cooking that's deeper than doesn't like it. I don't know what's gone on, but her and cooking are just not friends. At all. Eggshell, though. I don't know if you can eat eggshell.
No.
I certainly wouldn't give it to my child, weaning them.
That was Helena, Ricky and Florence from Peterborough. Can't wait to see you live in Edinburgh in April. April? If they're from Peterborough, Rob, I reckon they're coming to the Nottingham date.
Yeah, boy. Good to see you there. I met two blokes in North London at the end of, like, the Tube.
Yeah.
End of, like, Stanmore or something.
Yeah.
And then I met them at the end of that Tube. And they picked me up from the Tube. We drove to Peterborough, and it was basically a pub that was trying to do stand-up, but they had done nothing other than put a microphone and a PA in the corner of the pub.
Yeah, lovely.
So essentially, I was just doing stand-up to a busy pub.
Yeah.
Backs of heads, tables, people queuing, everyone watching.
Oh, my God.
Awful. But I got paid £40 cash, got dropped home. Stanmore, 1 a.m, no tube. God. 3-night buses. I was back in Lewisham before you knew it.
Oh, my God. Did I ever tell you I did a gig where a pub was trying to do stand-up and they didn't know how to do it? Like, and so they had... Everyone was eating dinner and he had a mic with no lead. the landlord said... I was like, so what, you just want me to stand in the corner? And he said, or you could just go table to table and just do a joke to each table.
Oh, I was like a hand, magician.
I'm not walking around the room... arriving at each table to go, have you ever been to Madame Tussauds? Because this is my anecdote.
Okay, gun to your head, and you had to because your family's life was on it.
Yeah.
You're in that room now. You've got that mic. You've got to go to a table to make them laugh.
Yeah. I'd just make jokes about the pub and the food and the situation. I would never... There's no way you could... I once also did a gig, and I got there, and it was a dinner... Right? And it was all one long table, and I was at the end, like, kind of the king.
Yeah.
And I just had to sit there, and then they all sat and had dinner, and I had to kind of hold forth at the end of the table.
I did that in an Oxford dining hall at the uni.
Yeah. Whoa.
It was mental.
It's mad, isn't it? What we did back in the day.
If you type in Oxford dining hall...
Yeah.
Right? It comes up straight away.
Dining... Oh.
At the end of it on a little, like, raised platform.
Oh, my God, like Harry Potter?
Yeah.
It looks like Hogwarts.
And that was me doing my gear about, I don't trust couscous, it's fat sand.
Yeah,
nice. Do you know what I mean?
Lovely.
I don't like anything that feels like it's already been chewed in my mouth, all that stuff.
All that good, great gear. It was good gear, it was good gear back
tomatoes
in the day.
Hot in a toasted sandwich,
yeah, that,
stuff like that.
I always loved that.
Yeah,
I loved that.
That was a good bit.
Yeah, that was good.
I still think about that.
When I have a panini, I think about that. I get transported back to you being
and
a young whippersnapper.
Oxford dining hall with people going, what is he a toasted sandwich? What's he talking about? A Breville maker? What's he talking about?
We got bought a Breville for Christmas 2 years ago. And
it's so good, isn't it?
It's so good. But you eat so many toasted sandwiches for about 2 weeks and then it just goes in the cupboard.
And then you start experimenting with cheese, beans, and Bovril.
Oh,
and
go, no, my
no,
it
didn't work, actually. Nutella
cheese
one,
and
that
pickle's
was always
a good one. Have you ever tried cheese and pickle? But fuck me,
oh,
it gets
cheese
hot.
And pickle. That's a hot pickle, mate. Oh, I get another 10 minutes out of that.
Do you know what? I'd love a Breville. I might go down and have a Breville for lunch. I love a Breville sandwich. No company dominates a market more than Breville with the toasted sandwich
market.
Well,
I used to call it a Breville, you know, rather than a toasted sandwich maker in the Breville, and people didn't know what I was talking about. But it
what?
Is, some people don't call it the Breville, they just call it... Because that's a brand name, isn't it?
It's a fucking Breville, and if they want to chuck some money our way...
Breville, if you want to send me a fucking toasty maker, mate, I'll have cheese and beans for a month until I'm 15 stone.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Oh, I love Breville.
Yeah, because Breville's I used to call it a Breville, but it's not actually a...
Yeah.
It's just so cheap as well, sandwich. I mean, like, I'm asking them to send me one. They're 20 quid.
Yeah, that's so good.
I'd dip me in it. And now, detachable, so you can put it in the dishwasher.
Can you? Oh.
You can remove it, because Lou's got a waffle maker that does that.
They're moving with the times, Breville.
Oh, these guys. Oh,
my daughter's shouting for me, Rob.
Okay, go on. She wants a sandwich.
She wants a toasted sandwich. I don't think she'd enjoy it.
I'm going to tell the listeners my dirty confession so you don't hear it and give me grief.
Yeah, okay. All right, great. I'll look forward to that, and then I can listen to the episode for once in my life.
Let me tell. Right. I'm going to tell you this.
Everything okay?
He's doing some parenting. Everything okay? That's a strange thing to ask a kid. Not really, no. Bit of back pain. I'm working. I'm just talking to Rob about toasted sandwich makers, okay? I'm grafting it. I've got calluses. What's that, mate?
Oh, I didn't hear
it. Enjoyed you saying you're working to your daughter after discussing sandwich makers.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, that is bad, isn't it?
I'm working.
Why didn't you say it like that? She said, what are you up to? I said, I'm working.
No, what would you have said?
I'm talking about toasted sandwich makers. God, I love a toasted sandwich.
Okay.
Really love them.
That's the most honest you've ever been. That is pure. That is from your soul. That is a toasted sandwich, isn't it?
Oh,
bread's so bad for you.
I'm so basic when it comes to food. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love a toasted sandwich.
Do you know
I'm fine
what?
With that.
I used to try and think that if I genuinely bread and cheese and butter, if I could have that every day and not die within about 3 years, I would eat. Three massive sandwiches every day.
Do you know what I love? And I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
A freezer pizza. I fucking love a freezer pizza.
Dr. Oikar Ristorante.
Oh, just, yeah.
Pound for pound.
A supermarket own brand. Fine.
Oh,
yes,
no,
please.
No, fuck off.
I love them.
Ristorante. Dr. Oikar.
No,
pound for pound.
Weird.
They're not biscuit based, you mad bastard. They're the best. Pound for pound for £2. I think they're still £2. How much is a Ristorante these days?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably.
I'll tell you what.
You know, Liz Truss has fucked the Dr. Oikar market. Brexit's probably fucked Dr. Oikar, I can tell you that.
Well, it's just come off my thing. They're £2 in Waitrose, £3.25 on Ocado. What mad bastard is buying £3.20? Oh, it's a vegan one, that's why.
Oh, right, we're jam on that.
£3 in Tesco.
There you go.
£2 Sainsbury's. Here we go, all bases covered.
Should we bring our guests on?
Oh, yeah, my embarrassing thing. I'll say that quickly.
Oh,
embarrassing.
Yeah.
I quite like Muse.
The band?
Yeah.
Do you?
I don't like it, though.
They're from my...
They're a bit nerdy for me, no offence.
They're a bunch of... A couple of their songs. Yeah, they used to... My friends were supported by Muse when they were 16, because Muse were on the same, like... Open mic night when all my mates were in bands. Muse did my school, I think.
All right. So is there any extra bit of that story? I thought you were going to say they did it and they were nice or horrible or...
Oh, no. Matt Bellamy used to live above a sex shop on Exit High Street. I know that.
Okay, cool.
I was once pulled over and asked a man for directions. It was Dom, the drummer. That's about all I've got.
Okay, all right. That's quite extensive. Fair play.
Yeah.
Respect. Okay, let's bring in our guest.
Oh, and what a guest it is.
Yes.
In fact, Rob.
Yeah.
One of your Radio 2 mates, isn't it?
Yes, a member of the Radio 2 family. Old Coxie, Sarah Cox.
Bloody family.
And I enjoyed you keeping it together, considering that you was obsessed with Sarah Cox in the 90s.
This is Sarah Cox.
Hello, Sarah Cox. Welcome to the podcast. Me and Josh are very excited. You've been on the hit list.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Is that a good hit list?
Yeah, it's a good one.
It is a good hit list. Yeah, yeah.
Of people we want and think will be good. I can see a cat in the background as well.
One of my many pets, a frustrated daughter of a farmer. So I can't have any cows or goats. So I just have as many small things as I can wandering around.
So you're actually a daughter of a farmer? I didn't know this.
Yeah, my dad's a beef farmer. He still is. I mean, he's 80 odd and I ring him and I can hear the rumble of the tractor. Hey, up, up, just shoveling cack. Give me a minute.
So are you in London?
Yeah, I'm in North London. I mean, I love London. I've been down here longer than I was up north, but a little tiny bit of me still has that little pipe dream that one day I'll have a small holding and a few more dogs and, you know, ponies for the kids, all that.
What kids have you got before we start? What ages are they?
Well, I barely qualify for this podcast, really. My parenting is nearly done.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Well, a bit of an exaggeration. The youngest is 12, so, you know.
Some would argue a quarter of the way through.
Yeah, I hate when people go, it's a northern thing, but I think I am quite like, you know, nah, done now, you know what I mean? You can yeah. You can make a toasty. My parenting's done, you're free. So 12, 14 and 18.
Oh, right.
Wow.
And what's your 18? Is she, he or she at uni or
well,
working?
This September, she will be at uni, hopefully. We're very proud. However, that means she's living her fresher year while still being under our roof, essentially.
Ooh, right, okay.
And she's not really wild. She just loves making things with curry powder very early in the morning before college or very late at night.
What do you mean, making things with curry powder?
I really love Indian food and Indian flavours, right. But she makes these big veggie curries.
Yeah.
She uses our house. You know when you hear about dark kitchens where people just have like a kitchen on an industrial estate and that's where they churn?
Yeah.
Basically, we don't see her all weekend and she just comes in and curry bombs our entire kitchen with all these lovely aromatic smells all night. And then in the morning, it's all still there and she leaves it all out. And she's basically living her student life, but at home. Because,
right.
You know, the circle yeah. of life, she should be winding up her housemates and stuff or in all the residents with this behaviour, but instead she's still home.
Oh, God, I'd have hated to be at home. When I left and was in halls of residence, it was freedom.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, well, she's doing a really brilliant thing. It's amazing to do a foundation course with that. Then you know what you want to do. She'll go to a good uni, hopefully, in September, but I'll really be like, you know, mixed shoving motion. Bye, love you.
Does she want to go somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's as well.
She's ready now. She's ready to leave the nest. She's fully feathered. Legs are dangling over the edge of the nest, you know.
Would you want her to go up north to sort of reconnect with her northern roots? Like you say, you've been down here for so long now that you've probably got three little posh Londoners, haven't you?
I know. They still say back.
Do they? Okay.
That's the thing. Yeah, it's the only thing. It would be quite nice if she went up north. I was saying that to her, actually, especially, you know, because she can then get the tram over to my mum's and go and see her little grandma. I thought it'd be quite cute, you know.
Yeah.
Go and see the family up there.
How will you react on that day when you drop her off?
Get absolutely leathered, I think. Celebrate.
Before we bought the house that we're in now, we were looking around this area and we looked at one house and there was a lady there and she had kids same age as you, really, 12, 14 and 18. And was like, oh, so where are you going then? Because it's quite a strange time to move, I think, because they're all in secondary school and then uni, sort of an odd. And she went, oh, yeah, well, what we're doing is she's going to university in Canterbury. So we're going to move down to Canterbury so we're near to her. And I was like, what?
Wow.
Whoa, she doesn't want that.
You know, someone says something to you in their house and you want to go, are you fucking insane? But you like go, right, okay. And I was like, well, what about the other kids? Do you move every time they go to uni? Because it's unfair to move for one or they all have to go to the same uni. But she was very much the other end of the spectrum with dropping off for uni as you are, Sarah.
I mean,
yeah, I think it's healthier your side of the fence.
Yeah. Look, I might be all gung-ho now. You might speak to me in a year's... Well, come September, and I might be devastated, but I doubt it. I mean...
You're not even pretending.
I mean, she's had enough of us. You know, she's very... She's a real independent spirit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She knows that she's fully loved. Mm. I mean, it's the same, you know, when my mum comes down here and I drop her back off... Well, I don't even drop her at Euston anymore. I pop her in an Uber. She's used to it. When I pop her in the Uber... she's had enough of me and I've had enough of her.
Yeah.
We're a bit like that, you know, it's just a bit like, I love you, but we're done now. So she'll be off.
Yeah.
And she'll have a great time.
Yeah.
When my parents come and tour with me to Australia and New Zealand, and on the way back from New Zealand, it was like 14 hours to Singapore, was in Singapore for 2 hours, got delayed an hour, 3 hours there, and then it was 14 hours from Singapore to London because they couldn't go over parts of Russia, obviously, because of the war. And then we landed, and then we sat on the runway for 2 hours because there was nowhere to park the plane because it was a big one and needed us and all this. And by the end of it, I was like itchy to wanting to like escape and get away. And I was sat there, and then my mum leant over and went, oh, look, my neighbour, whatever her name is, she's gone to see Mamma Mia. And I went, and it was a bit hard, so I apologised later. And I went, why do you think I give a fuck about what your neighbour... I don't even know who your neighbour is. I don't know what she is. I don't know where she is. And I couldn't give a fuck about that. But they just bombard you with information you don't care about, yeah, your parents.
Yeah, it's when that inner monologue slips out. Yeah. Like, yeah. That's what you're often thinking anyway. Yeah. You know, Carol, a daughter was in the year above you at school. You know, Jenny got a limp. You must know her anyway. Yeah. And then they'll tell you something complete. She tripped over a lamp or whatever it is. Graham's not well. Like, you're just like, I don't care. But yeah, you're slipped out after that long together.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah. Oh. Or she goes, yeah, it's her anniversary next week. I'm thinking I might get him a present. All right, yeah, okay. Well, what do you think about that rather than say it?
What was that old, is 10p go and ring someone who cares kind of thing, isn't it? It's like, yeah. I mean, I used to think my mum was absolutely crackers. I'm like, why does my mum care about these little things, like, you know, about, you know, when I've left a mess in the kitchen or whatever. And now my eldest woke up this morning to a naggy text and a follow-up analogue handwritten note in the kitchen as well, going,
really?
Rinse these dishes, wash this. This wasn't very pleasant at 6 a.m. making a cup of tea next to all this smelly stuff. Sort this out. And anyway, I was speaking to my husband and he goes, did she sort it out? I'm like, yeah. So, but she left just one splodge of curry sauce about 2 inches to the left of the note that I'd left her in the kitchen. Into real life. Okay, fuck you. Do what you say, but I'll just let you know that I don't care as much as you. And I was like, I've took a picture with a splodge and everything.
Do you know what? You won't remember this, Sarah, but for some reason I've got a memory of you parenting, which was...
Sounds creepy.
This is weird. When we did the Crystal Maze together about 10 years ago, and there was a break, and I was sat there, and I remember hearing consecutive phone calls from Rio Ferdinand to his kid, and then you to... must be your daughter now. And he was really talking about how this kid had played in the football. Did they win? Really competitive, like sports dad. And then I just remember you saying to your daughter, yeah, if you've done all your work, then you can go to Sprinkles. And that's all you said.
Go to Sprinkles.
Sprinkles is legendary. It's shut down now,
what
sadly.
What is Sprinkles?
It was an ice cream parlour, like pancake parlour, you know, and it's shut down because we're British and we're like, who wants an ice cream parlour? Yeah. That's too much, you know.
But you came across as a very chilled out parent. Is that fair?
You know what? Despite the start I've made with this chat, I am actually pretty chilled. My husband's much stricter with me, but I think it's because she's so big now that it is some sort of primal instinct that, like, you know,
that she could beat you up.
Yeah, go and spear your own mammoth, you know, out the cave, you're grown now kind of thing. But otherwise, I am pretty chilled, really.
This episode is brought to you by Yakult. What about if going out and stuff, like, are you asking a lot of questions about who she's going out with, where she's going, or are you relaxed about that as well?
Well, to be fair, on my home screen of my phone, I've got all three and my husband. I've got their locations.
Oh, have you?
On my phone, yeah.
Wow, like Spooks, like The Real Hustle.
No, is it like Meet the Parents where he's got that little spy room? I just go into it. I press a painting on my wall and it flips. And
so
I...
you've got all their locations through, like, the message thing?
Yeah, they're all there. So I can see exactly where they all are at all times.
Wow. Oh, wow.
It's really good.
What's that app?
It's just widgets that you get on your home screen on your iPhone.
And you can just put the widget of, like...
For location. So it's so nice. My eldest is pretty good. But it's nice if I wake up at, like, 2 a.m. or whatever, I can just glance at my phone and see that she's at this address.
Yeah.
or, you know, a mate's house.
And it hasn't come back on her that she goes, but you were the ultimate ladette. I know where you were going. You used to go out all night before the Radio 1 breakfast show. I've not even got to get up to broadcast to 10 million people.
Sometimes there's a bit of sassy syndrome.
Is there?
Where it used to be where she was a bit more sensible. She'd come down and me and my friends, if we'd had a party or whatever, might still be up or something. Well, that was a long time ago. Oh, they still got... Remember that time you were really drunk in Ibiza, Mum? You were so funny by the pool in the morning. And I'm like, oh, God. That was ages ago. I really want to do a Men in Black, like, vroom, in front of their eyes. Like, forget that. But now, yeah, I guess with their outfits, I'm fully, you know, as a parent, when your kids are growing up and they're finding their own style, your stock response is, you look amazing, babe. You look great. And my mum always said it to me when I was going out in my terrible, like, second-hand fake leopard print leather jackets and John Lennon sunglasses. She'd be like, you look great. She must be like, in the back, behind my back. And now I'm, like, fully encouraging with my kids. I'm like, you look awesome. But if there's quite a lot of cleavage happening sometimes, I don't have a leg to stand on because she can literally Google me falling out the Met Bar with, you know, looking like I've got Phil and Grant Mitchell down my dress and can just be like, evidence, present to the court. So, yeah.
Yeah, you can't really say much, can you?
Nah, not got a leg to stand on.
Are they interested in your work and your past?
Mm. Because I think your career is quite interesting.
Did like Radio 1, you did the girly show, of course, and then you're now kind of Radio 2. You're closing in on National Treasure here, Sarah, if you're not careful.
Oh, no!
You're closing in on it.
Am I 35? Shut up.
But respect from, like, being an author and Sunday Times bestseller, it's like you've sort of covered all bases of entertainment, really, haven't you? And broadcasting.
Yeah. It's just my single to be released now, and then I've taken them all. That might be a long time coming. There'll be a lot of auto-tune on that, bad boy. So, yeah, they're kind of interested. I mean, they're just so used to it. They're just a bit like, oh, is your book out? Well done. They don't really care, you know.
Have they read it?
No, no one's read the book. My husband's not read any of my books.
No, my wife's not read either of mine. It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I mean...
It's really weird, isn't it?
So did you present it to her and go, da-da, I'd love you to read it. It's really little...
She could get a copy. There's about 65 in my office.
Same.
Sign one for her, Josh, and pop it on her pillow.
She doesn't really read. She just looks at her phone in bed. But would you want your husband sat reading your book next to you in bed?
That's the weird thing, isn't it? It's like my memoir.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's not read either. I tell you what, I wrote the memoir. It's basically about my dad, and my dad hasn't read it.
Really?
In existence is a book about him that he's not read.
Well, yeah, that was Till the Cows Come Home.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's a beef farmer. That was in 2018, but your new one is Throne. That's your new novel.
So this is your first novel?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is now in paperback, but, and this is crucial, Sarah, it says here, very importantly, that you're a Sunday Times bestseller for fiction now.
Yes, that's a level up, isn't it? Anyone could knock out a fucking memoir.
Anyone could knock out a memoir. This is proper work. Oh,
it's a proper novel. Yeah.
Was it tough?
Yeah. He got to number two in the bestseller stats. I can't remember. I know.
Osman. It's got to be Osman.
Fucking Richard Osman.
It's got to be Osman. That's what I was thinking. I can't remember. And then, you know, there's quite a few songs like that were kept off the top spot.
Yeah. Last Christmas was kept off the top spot.
I comfort myself with that. Yeah. Was a Vienna kept off, I think.
By Richard Osman.
By Richard Osman.
Yeah. Probably Suede, Richard Osman's brother. Those Osmonds are everywhere.
So, yeah, it did well. It was
Donny Osmond was number one as well.
Oh, don't get me going on the Osmonds, Jesus. I did, years ago, I did Family Fortunes against the Osmond family, and the first three rows of the audience were all Osmond fans, all women, with their scarves and stuff. And every answer I gave, silence when it was correct and stuff, and me and my family. We were basically trolled by Osmond fans.
Oh, wow.
And whenever they answered, they were like, hey, all these mad women. It's amazing.
So Throne is a novel about four women at... Shall I give the pitch or do you want me to... Do you want to give the pitch, Sarah?
Why don't you do it and see if you're right or not, Josh?
Okay.
Sarah can judge you.
Four women in a apocalyptic future in 2030. No.
I'm writing that down for the next one. It's pretty good, that.
God, I've got these ideas, you see. So it's about four women meeting through a pottery class, right?
Yes.
And they kind of...
It's set, like, north of Manchester.
Yeah.
It's basically set in Bolton on a housing estate.
Yeah.
I grew up sort of half at my mum's and half on the farm where my dad was. We left the farm when I was six because they divorced. And it's sort of on an estate similar to one where I grew up, and nobody really knows each other anymore like they used to. And people are sort of busy, get on with their own lives. And then this woman called Becky, who runs a community centre, she wins a grant to start this pottery class. And that was a nice way just to bring these four women together and for them to become firm friends and to help each other through all sorts of like suspected infidelity.
Yeah.
And another couple who are desperate for a baby, one who's got a bit of empty nest syndrome and actually wants to start a new life abroad. There's a horrible ex comes in. There's a very sexy Scottish pottery teacher. I had to write a couple of fruity scenes.
Did you?
I then had to read in the audiobook. I'll never do that again.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Is there a line that sticks in your mind that you've struggled with?
Yes.
Yeah, what is it? Come on.
I can't.
You can. Come on, Sarah.
It's rude.
That's okay.
What page is it on? And I'll read it. I'll read it out.
You've got the book here.
Got the PDF here.
Where is it?
Okay, so it'll be Jamila, and it's when her husband comes home from work.
Oh, and one thing leads to another.
Yeah, and one thing leads to another, but I have to find
Who are you picturing with the sexy husband?
No, not sexy husband, sexy pottery teacher, because he's Scottish. A little bit, 1980s Marty Pellow.
Oh, really?
I can see it.
And when you say a little bit, do you mean a lot?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe, but it's got to be 80s Pellow.
It's Marty Pellow, yeah. Sexy, serious, but creative.
Yeah.
Twinkly. I mean, don't look into his eyes. He'll twinkle you to death. I've lost many friends over the years.
Yeah.
You look him directly in the eye.
Have you got it there, Sarah?
Because I've got a pretty sexy voice, as we're all aware. So
you'll have to give me a minute, but I'm sure it'll be worth it once we find it.
Find the page.
It's quite rude, though, Josh. Are you sure? You might have to fill out a form afterwards.
I cannot wait.
I'll blush. Oh, my word. Oh, Sarah.
What have you found?
Go on.
It's page 56.
What word is it, Josh? What have you found?
Oh, my word.
We've already built this.
Oh.
You had to read this.
Oh, yeah. I was like, you know what? I did it in one take because I'm not bloody doing this twice because it's so embarrassing.
Did you look up towards the producer?
No, and he was like mid-20s. He was basically the same name and age as one of my nephews. And I was like, just...
He looked like a young Marty Pellow.
Just you two in a room together and you reading this as he records it.
He's so wrong.
Should we get Nando's after this? Okay, here we go. He presented his...
She missed Simon. She missed the sex they used to... Sex? Oh, my word. Sarah.
But no, that can't be the naughty bit, the word sex.
No.
No wonder you didn't want your daughters to read this.
Go on, John. This is fun watching you cringe.
She missed the sex they used to have when they moved in together. His hands on her...
Be sexier, Josh.
Yeah.
But what do you mean?
Come on, give it a bit of...
How did you do it, Sarah?
I didn't want to sound like I'm being sarcastic. Right. His hands on her as soon as he was through the door from work... Kiss, hello, turning hotter. Him pulling down her knickers roughly, pushing his fingers into her, his long, searching fingers.
Long.
He'd always known just where to touch her. It was these moments she thought of in the shower. Oh, do you know what? It's very well written, Sarah.
It is, isn't it? Does it get more raunchy than that, or is that...
How much... Did you get notes on that, or did they wave that bit through first draft, go, you've nailed that?
They were like, green light that, babe.
For me, though, long, searching fingers reminds me of E.T. That's what I'm picturing.
The glowy bit on the end.
The glowy bit, that's right. He knows exactly where to hit.
Oh, so that was intense to read.
Wow. That'd be tough in the audiobook.
That was incredible, Josh. I will never forget that. Thanks, guys. That was a beautiful moment.
If you want that edited into the audiobook, then...
I can't work out if that's going to make people want to buy it more or less, Josh, doing it. Just so you know, Josh doesn't do the whole book.
No. Do you do the voices? Like, did you do different accents?
Oh, don't. Another lesson I learned. So the first one was don't write sex scenes in. And the second one was don't have a bloody Scottish person unless you can do a Scottish accent. So I was like,
I'm at risk of being cancelled by Scotland if I try and do.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, can we not just get like Edith Bowman in or something just to come in and do those like bits where Sasha speaks? Apparently that's not a thing. So in the end, well, then they were like, just for the audiobook alone, make him not Scottish. But I think Scots are quite sexy.
You made him Jamaican. It was much worse, actually, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's really sexy and exotic, isn't it, Scotland? A 5-hour drive to Bolton.
So what did you do?
Well...
did you do a Scottish accent?
No, because I would get cancelled. Yeah. I mean...
hey, we're mad! I've only got that extreme version. If he's trying to be sexy in the pottery.
This is it. Oh, so it was awful. I'm getting, like, sweating out thinking about it. So I didn't want to change the character where it was from because I just liked having a Scottish character in there. So luckily he travelled a lot. So he'd worked in LA, Israel. He'd worked everywhere with his pottery.
So he sounded Mancunian. He sounded like a Mancunian woman.
Basically, if you bought him accents, he's kind of like transatlantic, weird Bolton. Like, oh, it's terrible.
I'm sure it's amazing, Sarah.
Lessons learned.
And so your children haven't read it?
No.
Quite rightly.
Yeah.
It's a bit saucy, isn't it, for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean...
so is it all girls you've got, or boys as well?
I've got a girl, boy, girl, so... how old are you? You two are in, like, deep parenting, aren't you?
I'm in deep. Rob's in... Rob can get his feet on the floor of the swimming pool, but he's not comfortable yet.
Yeah, 7 and 5, so we're getting there. We're nearly there.
Yeah, and I'm 5 and 1. Ooh. I'm not jaded like you are, Sarah.
Sure, I mean... to be honest, you've got... it's lovely when they're little, but it's amazing when they're big. Because there is an element of, like... like, yesterday, the middle and the little one had gone to the cinema together and they were going to get home on the tube and stuff, and all fine. They're just pootling around on the tube now.
So on their own, the 12 and 14-year-old?
12 and 14, because they get the tube to school every day and they can mate about a bit. Eldest one was off out or whatever. And me and husband were just chilling. And I was, like, reading and stuff, because I'm doing that bookshop, so I'm just constantly reading at the moment. And we were actually reminiscing, going, God, remember, when the kids were little, when we got an hour like this, which is totally normal to us now to be in the house by ourselves, we were, like, paralysed by the possibility of what we could do with an hour of freedom. And you're like, we've got 47 minutes left before they get dropped back by grandma or whatever. And it was so, like, amazing to not have the responsibility of little kids about. And as they get older, you get that so much now that you don't really notice when you've got that free time. You know, it's like, it's lovely when they get bigger. When you just hang out with them, you can have a laugh, you can call them a knobhead. You know, you can't really do that to the face when they're little. You could do it behind their back.
No. What's the first age when you just called your child a knobhead and thought that was fine?
Probably like 11.
Yeah, secondary school. Yeah. You can knobhead them off. Yeah. Right? Oh, you forgot your PE kit. Oh, you knobhead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can be like, you massive knobber. Come here. And it's cute and they don't mind. I don't F in front of them.
You don't F?
Yeah, I'm not like...
F-ing and Jeffing.
Yeah, I'm not F-ing and Jeffing because... my mum said the F word when I got my A-level results and I'll never forget how devastated I was.
What, because it was bad?
Yeah, I was just a bit like, Mum, she's like, oh, fucking hell, I'm so proud.
Oh, I thought she was like, for fuck's sake, that shit, Sarah.
Oh, no, it was good, it was good.
What the fuck is doing, you fucking knobhead?
What the fuck are those three results?
Well, actually, I think it shows that she was clearly very surprised that she used such a strong expletive that I'd done all right.
Yeah.
So I don't use F words. My boy, who's 14, sometimes swears when he's gaming and stuff. Mm. I'd be like, dude, take it down a little bit.
What difference have you seen between having a teenage daughter to a teenage boy? Is it different? Do they... so boys, I feel like, a bit more are online gaming a bit more, aren't they? Where girls are messaging more. Yeah. The boys are definitely playing more games, I think. With the girls' message, it's the messaging and the WhatsApp groups and stuff with the teenage girls.
Yeah, so it's pretty similar, really, because there's Roblox that my daughter was on a lot and is sometimes still on, and that's where she's on there with her group of mates from school.
Yeah.
What's the same is it's lucky both of them have got a really strong group of close mates. So that's really nice. And actually, I hang out with my son more than with my little one. With my little one, I'll have to grab her and make her come and hang out and make her do something with me, like a bit of, you know, baking or going off and doing something. Whereas my son's kind of sweet. I mean, he's 40. He's 6'1", and that's the mad thing.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm like 5'8½". And when your child overtakes you, so two of them are taller than me now, my daughter's probably like 5'10".
Yeah.
And my son is, 6'1", no taller than his dad.
Yeah, oh, wow.
And it's not there yet, but when they play fight, my husband's there a bit like, Jesus, ow! And then he has to really get in and do a proper dead arm, you know, because it's getting that, you know, that battle for who's, head of the herd kind of thing. Because my son's, you know, he's getting big. He's like, it's so funny, this little gorgeous little pudding that used to just toddle about. He's now just like a geezer. He's a bloke. I'm always grabbing his bare legs like, look at these legs. How did this happen?
I bet he loves that.
Yeah, don't mind.
Your mate's all round. His mate's around. You go, look at your legs. Look at his legs. Look how big his legs are.
Hey, I tell you what he brings up all the time. I think it really did damage him was when I bit his bum, because he's always like, remember when you bit my bum? And I'm always like, oh, yeah, God, you really remember that.
How old was he?
Yeah, 14, last week. No, he was like 5 or 6 or something, and was climbing up onto his top bunk and he was messing about with someone. I just grabbed his bum, took a big bite of his bum. He was like, ah!
Yeah, God. The kind of things you do when they're like squidgy little babies and then they get to that age, like, what are you doing? Oh. And then you go, I don't know. I'm just messing about.
So enjoy that. You're still in that age where you can just squidge them about and bite them and blow. You can't blow raspberries on a 14-year-old's tummy.
Oh, no.
You know, so
you
enjoy
stay well
it
away from that.
I'm Ivo Graham.
And I'm Alex Keeley.
We're stand-up comedians who love music.
And we'd like to tell you about our new podcast, Gig Pigs.
Alex and I have been watching live music together for years, so we've decided to compromise this hobby, and potentially our friendship, by turning it into a project.
Every episode, we'll be going to a gig, and then discussing it afterwards with the friends who came along to third wheel us.
Asking questions like, did you enjoy the gig? Did you check the setlist in advance? Did you appreciate the artist's mid-song banter?
Did this gig profoundly change your relationship with live music?
Was the cloakroom queue prohibitively long?
We've been to Franz Ferdinand with Rose Matafeo and Emma City, Kendrick Lamar with Phil Wang, and The Cure with Cellier AB.
And next month, we're going with Ed Gamble to watch Napalm Death.
Episodes are out from this Thursday and every Thursday thereafter until attending live music once a week with a different guest becomes logistically impossible.
We have no idea how soon that could be, so join us now by going to your preferred podcast platform and searching Gig Pigs.
Do you feel emotional when you think about them being small kids? Do you go, oh, I miss that? Or are you too much enjoying the fact that you can sit around reading books?
Well, you know what is really good? You know, at the moment, over the last month or whatever, when your phone keeps chucking up old pictures.
Yeah.
And it's put together all these albums. It's just constantly now when I open my phone, there are just little random pics of the kids when they're little. And if anything, that makes me feel a bit like, oh, look, you know, because it was just like, there's a picture of them on the Isle of Wight ferret. So I had the dog that we had at the time with us. And the kids, I reckon, are like 2, 4, and 8. And it's clearly freezing, but they're grinning like they've got the puffer coats with the rugs up. And I took a picture of them on the rough seas, like just standing near the edge there on the deck of the ferry. And that popped up. And I was like, it was so cute, you know, because they're just so happy with everything's an adventure at that age. And that's what's kind of lovely. But then equally now we went to South Africa over back end of Christmas and New Year and stuff. And we went to a botanical garden and they loved it. Yeah. And they were interested. Whereas a few years ago, it would have been a bit like, we're tired. Can we bring scooters? Oh, it's boring. What are we here for?
Yeah.
Whereas now...
I want to go to a soft play centre or something.
Yeah. Soft play centre in Johannesburg.
Finding a cinema in Johannesburg. Oh. Like, okay, let's take them cinema. Let's go and watch Trolls 2 again.
Well, we went on one of our family holidays in Devon. When we were there, the weather was really bad and we were sat in basically a massive industrial unit that was a trampoline park. Yeah. Oh, my God, those places. And I booked an Ibiza villa for the year after while sitting in that industrial trampoline park. I was like, I'm not doing this again. We had so many holidays like that. And I'm sure you guys are deep in that.
Yeah.
Me and Lou do that. We go through a phase of going, well, the weather's always lovely in the UK in August. Let's just enjoy the UK. And then you do that and go, fuck this, it's raining again. Why didn't we just book a holiday?
Like never again.
Did you find time for stuff like reading and all that stuff? Or did you find when you were kids, suddenly got old, you were like, wow, I can get all my hobbies back. I can do stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I got a horse. That's when I was right, yeah, they're bigger now. And when I got a...
What age were your kids when you got a horse? Not that I want to get a horse, but my version of the horse. What age am I?
What is your version of the horse? A Plymouth season ticket.
What's my version? Yeah, season ticket. Plymouth Argyle.
That's Josh's horse.
No hesitation. That just right away. Yeah, the season ticket would be the one.
It's probably cheaper to buy a player for Plymouth than a horse. Have a horse.
I don't think that's very funny, but yeah.
I think the youngest was like 9.
Yeah. Oh, for the love of God.
Do they ride as well?
Well, the eldest can a bit. And then I tried to with the other two a little bit, but they weren't massively into it. And I would have been really forcing it. And it was expensive, you know, to take them for lessons and that. If they're not that into it, then. But, you know, my son can skateboard a bit. And my husband used to love skateboarding. So I'm always like, babe, be careful, because my husband's like, come here, I can show you how to do a bit of that. You know, and he's like knocking
it out. It's the classic. I used to skateboard 23 years ago. Let's go. Let's get back on the half pipe.
Exactly. He's 47 and he's like, yeah, let me just have a... I'm just like, oh my God, his bones must be so hollow compared to when he was a teen. Please be careful. But yeah, no, they've all got their stuff that they're into, but I've not forced them into the ride.
And do you try and get into their stuff? Are you trying to be cool and down with the kids? Are you offering opinions on TikTok?
No, not really. Like the one TikTok of mine that did really well was one that my 12-year-old filmed and put up and stuff.
Really?
Where I dressed up as her.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, it's cute. Where you dress as your kid.
Yeah, that's that little trend where you go, mum. Yeah. But they put your age as well, don't they? Did she put your age? That's the thing they do. Yeah. They'll be like, my so-and-so age dad dressed up as me. And I always feel like the age is too far. Just say my parents.
Yeah. We know they're older.
We know it's around something between 20 and 40 years older than you are. Just why do you have to put the exact number?
Yeah, I don't know if my age is on this. I mean, it wasn't that different. You know, I don't really try and get into their stuff too much, really. I mean, my husband's funny because my husband's a massive hip-hop fan and a fan of rap. And so he's thrilled that without any pushing at all, my son is now really, really into hip-hop.
Oh,
that's just the music that he's drawn to and that he loves. It's cute. He can, like, you know, they can, like, enjoy a bit of rap music together because my husband knows all the lyrics.
I like rap and hip-hop, but some of the words, are like, there's a lot of swearing in it.
Oh, it's like reading... It's like Sarah Cox doing her audiobook sometimes.
Yeah. But they love it because they really like sort of bass and big beats and stuff like that. So they're like, oh, we like this one. Because I had like Bassline Junkie by Dizzy Rascal on. And he goes, play that fucking bass. Put some fucking bass on that. Fuck you, fuck off. And I'm like, okay, and I'm trying to like dip the volume.
He's the one that's like, I don't want no candy.
Yeah.
I don't want no coke and all that. Yeah, and like the kids are singing along.
I know. So listing drugs, saying bitch, fuck off, fuck you, Bassline Junkie. I don't want smack. Bass is my drug and all that.
Great.
I don't know if there are like versions of those songs that you can get. But it seems to be like it always comes up as
don't
explicit.
Don't be such a square with your Christian versions of hip hop songs.
That Bassline Junkie song.
Have you got one that's about loving God? Because
it could be like Jesus Junkie instead. Yes. Like,
Jesus Walks by Kanye West.
But well, no, on Fun Kids UK, which we used to listen to quite a bit, they will have like it's all the pop music, but like Dua Lipa's Rules. You know, it'd be like one, don't pick up the phone. You know, I don't call it because I don't care. But instead of like drunk and alone,
oh, Fun Kids UK.
Yeah, so Fun Kids UK is a radio station and they re-record. So it sounds so similar. Or they might just re-record certain bits of the verse. It's really clever how they do it.
Right.
And you're like, hang on, that's not right. Because instead of like one, to pick up the phone is, you know, he's only calling because you're drunk and alone or whatever.
Right, yeah.
But instead it'd be like, you know, he's only calling because, you know, you're playing yo-yo alone. It's really clever. It's really cute.
Oh, that's
so do they re-record the whole vocal or does it just change to like...
Yeah.
Like, you know, when it's dubbed over, so it's really good and then it's like playing yo-yo over the top, or is it...
Request song.
Does it work?
Yeah, it's really clever. They do it. It's really funny. We were banging to Fun Kids UK for a bit.
Right, okay.
There we go.
I even tried to, get a blag on there, like a show.
You can request a song Friday nights, right? So I might ask for Bassline Junkie by Dizzy Rascal and see what she can do with it, this lady. Bex.
I don't want no biscuits. I don't want no crisps.
I don't want no Kit Kats.
Have you had to have, like, chats about... adult topics with your teenage kids.
Of course.
And how was that?
Well, when you do the sex chat and the birds and the bees, you've also got to add in sexting and you've got to add in consent.
Yeah.
And all the big issues, you know, alongside of the, you know, to my eldest, obviously, you know, keeping an eye on her drink so she doesn't get her drink spiked. You know, to all the kids about what to do if you get mugged. That might be very much a big city thing. So it's, you know, it goes way beyond the birds and the bees sort of stuff.
God, that's...
Which is quite heavy, you know.
I'm worried that I haven't got the... That's... I'm not going to feel comfortable. Is that a kind of thing you were comfortable...
When do you ever feel comfortable, though, Josh?
I never feel comfortable. I feel particularly uncomfortable.
Particularly uncomfortable.
Although you remember that sex scene, you were so up for it. You seemed pretty...
Yeah. Oh, he loved
Maybe
that.
Maybe I could just read that to her.
He's fine with fingering, Sarah. When it comes to fingering,
he got a
he's
niche
fine.
Skill.
Anything more than that, he can't deal with it.
Yeah. Your next novel, give me a shout.
That would be so good if just Josh's voice, if your voice just came in.
Just popped up. I love that.
For all the rude bits. Can you do a Scottish accent? Because we could get Sasha back.
No, I can't do a Scottish accent, sorry.
But yeah, no, you'll be fine because by then you'll have been through all the stages of parenting.
Yeah.
And also at school they get taught a lot of sex education. They're aware of it slightly as well. It's sort of a group effort. It's not just you corner this sort of innocent kid.
So I've got one question I did need to ask you, Sarah. Mm. On parenting, which is there's a parent at my daughter's gymnastics who trades quite a lot on being a good mate of yours.
Oh, this is good.
Oh, interesting. I'm leaning in.
Yeah. And I want to just check if they are good mates with you. Are you good friends with a man called David Laub?
Oh, yeah, I am.
Oh,
he's my son's godfather.
Oh, Laub,
that's a real shame.
He came in hot. He came in strong. Just questioned him. Yeah.
I didn't question him. I'm just like, I just need to double check this. He's a godfather to your son.
Yeah, he's one of Ben's oldest mates. They used to have a bath together. Ask him about that.
Really?
They got put in the bath together when they were little, having sleepovers. They're that close.
After 30 from skateboarding.
Skateboarding. You can also use his other name, which is Ravid.
Ravid.
Because he'd always be the one still going when we're like,
would
look, it's over.
Yes.
It's over.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Stop now.
I'll call him Ravid on Sunday morning.
That's why all the parents in the East End, like where you live, Victoria Parkway, want to talk to each other. They're all old school ravers. They love it.
We're all still up, Rob. We're all still up.
Oh, the final question, Sarah, we always ask. It's a two-pronged one. Basically, what's the one thing that your partner does parenting-wise that really winds you up and you sort of clash with him about? And if you listen back, you go, fair enough. And then what's the other thing that he does that you think, oh, that's why I'm so happy we had kids together. You're an amazing dad.
Oh, that's cute. Okay, so the first one is he will... not let them do anything for themselves, like when it comes to, because he's in charge of the kitchen and keeping the kitchen nice mainly. He will, oh no, actually, that's not a very good one. Let me have a think. I was just going to say that he just, you know, he'll take over and I'm like, they'll never learn how to do it.
Well, he just does it for them.
Yeah. And I'm a bit like,
well, I think that's a fair one because
yeah,
it, like,
do you say, I just,
if you clean up after and you'll be cleaning up after him forever, you'll be going to visit her at uni and then tidying the kitchen.
This is it. I'm like, it's our job to raise them so that when we release them eventually into society, they'll be able to like make a sarnie and be like, you know.
So you do talk about them like you're releasing a lion back into the world, like you're never going to see them again. It's like, once I release them, you know, I'll never see him ever again.
I'm born free. Like, we'll
yeah,
see him again.
Back after 20
years. We won't recognise him, you know, and I'll chase them away. Like, yeah. I'll tell you what he does. My husband's amazing and he's a brilliant, brilliant dad. And he's such a good dad that he doesn't really like being the bad guy. So what he'll do is he will wind me up so much about something so that I then go and have a go at the kids about it.
Oh.
And he'll stand behind me going like, God, she's mad today. I don't know what's got into her. Sorry, kids. You know what I mean? And my mum's got a good saying about, you know, he'll load the gun and I'll fire it.
Oh, yes.
Like, he'll get me so wound up. And then he's a bit like, it's not that bad. She did tidy it earlier. And I'm like, what? You've just been texting me at work. You're like furious. Gets me all het up. Yeah, and then he's the good guy. So
that's bad. That is bad.
Isn't that a bit of a thing, though? Don't you have that with your other half? So.
Never heard of that before.
No.
In any functional relationship, I've never heard of that happening.
But no, I've recognised that behaviour.
In any relationship that's lasted.
Yeah.
And the good thing is, I mean, he's just Mr. Taxi Man. He's really good. Well, I'm like, they can get six buses, two tubes, a train and a hovercraft. They'll be fine. They've grown up. And he'll be like, I'll go and pick them up from... Because my kids go to school in centre of town, their mates are from all over London. Right. So he'll be like, you know, there'll be a birthday party or something and it'll be like, you know, he's got a schlep over to Chelsea or somewhere at like 11 o'clock on a Saturday night.
And that can be like an hour drive. Easy. You know what I mean? In London, it's mad, isn't it? Like something that's just around the corner can be a 45-minute drive there, 45-minute back.
Yeah, absolute madness. And he'll always do that. He'll always go and pick him up. And he's always like, it's my job, isn't it? He's just mega taxi man.
Mega taxi man.
Mega taxi man. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Sarah, thank you so much. And good luck with the paperback release. Yeah. Hopefully you get back to number one rather
Throne.
Than second.
Yeah, this is the time. Yeah. Osman's going to be sweating it. Osman's giving you a quote, though.
Yeah, he has, bless him. That's nice of him, wasn't it? He just like,
it is nice. He didn't realise you're a competitor at that point, and then he gave you a quote.
He knows he's got no competitors. He's the lion equivalent of the publishing world. He ain't got no one after him. He's fine.
Let's give us his quote, though. Throne is a gloriously big-hearted story about four women who attend their local community centre pottery class, a fresh and insightful take on how change can happen through female friendships, described as so full of humour and heart by Richard Osman.
No, the first bit...
P.S. I love the fingering bit. No, his line is so full of humour and heart by Richard Osman. Yeah, that was more
his
the...
one was humour and heart.
I was going to say, fucking hell, Richard, all right, calm down, mate. He's done a full premise here.
His quote was, I've got long fingers as well.
My God.
Sorry. But good luck with the paperback release. Hopefully you get to the top of the charts again, Sarah, and good luck with your show. You're on Radio 2 every day and obviously your book club review show on BBC 2.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, lovely. Thanks very much. Lovely to chat.
Cheers, Sarah. Thanks.
Bye.
Cheers, mate. Have a good day.
Cheers, bye.
Sarah Cox.
Love Sarah Cox.
Radio 2 family, me and her.
Yeah, is she in the Radio 2 WhatsApp group with you?
Oh, yeah, we're in there. People keep leaving it, though, awkwardly.
Ken Bruce left the conversation.
Well, if there is a Radio 2 presenter WhatsApp group, I'm not in it.
Oh, no, Rob.
Oh. Well, I don't know if there is. Maybe there is.
No, there won't be. I don't think so. The age of some of them, they haven't got WhatsApp.
Shall I start one? I'll start one with Tony Blackburn and Whispering Bob Harris and work backwards from there.
Oh, yeah. Have you gotten Tony Blackburn's number? Can we get Tony Blackburn on this? He must have kids.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Should I get him on?
Let's get Tony Blackburn. Yeah.
He's got kids. He's got a couple of kids.
Oh, that's great. Good. But Sarah's great.
Yeah, no, we love Sarah.
She's
look.
Brilliant. I love Sarah Cox. Throne is her book, which is out now in paperback.
And her memoirs as well. I bet that's amazing. It's quite interesting that she obviously is pining for loads of animals because of living on that farm.
Yeah,
brilliant, Sarah Cox. Listen to her on the radio, buy a book, watch her show, and we'll be back on Tuesday with another episode.
Cheers, guys. Bye.
If you are not in the queue and you are waiting, then step to the side.
He got in touch. He said, yeah, sorry, mate, you didn't seem like yourself the other day. You've only met me three times.
The self-service checkout. I don't care what you're called. I'm not getting tricked into working here.
People at festivals in those stupid jester hats.
I glanced at a tampon.
£2.69 for a bottle of water.
Why is your Wi-Fi code
social media
10 characters long?
Starts guiding you.
I don't care if you're watching. Boot cut jeans.
What's upset you now?
I'm Sean Walsh.
And I'm Paul McCaffrey. We are the hosts of What's Upset You Now?
The UK's angriest podcast.
And we are back for Series 5.
Booyah!
We all love a good moan, don't we? And Sean and I, well, Sean mostly, are two of the best in the absolute business. And every Tuesday and Thursday, we moan about all those little things that really get our goat. We also have guests. What guests have we had, Sean?
We have had Romesh Ranganathan, Rob Beckett, Mark Lamar, Joe Brand, Catherine Ryan, Tom Allen.
15-minute episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. Brand new What's Upset You Now? Series 5, out now.
Oh, for God's sake.
Soap from the Box is the ultimate behind-the-scenes podcast, and we're back for a bigger and better Season 4.
Amanda Holden, hello.
Hello, love.
I used to say to you, you will never hear a roar like that ever in your lifetime.
Paul McCartney came over, and we had a photo with my mum.
And my mum going, oh, you're that dirty beetle that used to come to my house.
I'm TV director Lee Salisbury, and I speak to the biggest stars of some of the biggest shows on television.
Craters and explosions going off all over the place. You're walking through it and just going, how have I ended up here?
And some pop music legends.
That was the most important one there at the end. Rear of the year. Thanks,
dude. I am here to jingle.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts, or for the whole show, sign up now free for exclusive content at anotherslice.com/soapinthebox.